ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 11th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7।
ब्रह्मं तथापि पृच्छामो धर्मान् भागवतांस्तव यान् श्रुत्वा श्रद्धया मर्त्यो मुच्यते सर्वतो भयात्। ब्रह्मंस्तथापि पृच्छामो धर्मान् भागवतांस्तव यान् श्रुत्वा श्रद्धया मर्त्यो मुच्यते सर्वतो भयात्। ब्रह्मंस्तथापि पृच्छामो धर्मान् भागवतांस्तव यान् श्रुत्वा श्रद्धया मर्त्यो मुच्यते सर्वतो भयात्।
Mataji's.
Brahman, O Brahman, tathapi. Nevertheless, although I am completely satisfied just by seeing you, Prichhamaha, I am inquiring about Dharman, religious duties, Bhagavatan, which are specifically meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord, Tava, from you, Yan, which, Shrutva, hearing, Shraddhaya, with faith, Martyaha, one destined to die, Muchyate, he is freed, Sarvataha, from all, Bhayat,
fear. Translation. O Brahman, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I still wish to inquire about those duties which give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any mortal who faithfully hears about them is freed from all kinds of fear. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Narad Muni might have been reluctant to instruct Vasudev because of natural respect for Vasudev's exalted position as the father of Krishna. Narad might have thought that since Vasudev was already perfect in Krishna consciousness, there was no need to instruct him in the process of devotional service. Therefore, anticipating Narad's possible reluctance, Vasudev specifically requested Narad to preach to him about devotional service to Krishna. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee of Krishna never considers himself exalted. To the contrary, he meekly feels that his devotional service is most imperfect, but that somehow or other Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, is accepting such imperfect service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated in this regard, Trinadapi sunichena tarurapi sahishnuna amaninamanadena kirtaniyah sadaharihi. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, feeling himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respect to others. The conditioned souls in this material world become falsely proud of their so-called family lineage. This pride is false because one who has taken birth in the material world is in a fallen situation, even in the best of cases. Vasudev, however, was certainly not fallen since he had taken birth in the family of Krishna. Since he was Krishna's father, his position was most exalted, yet because he was a pure devotee, he did not become proud of his special relationship with Krishna. Instead, considering himself deficient in spiritual understanding, he took advantage of the appearance of Narad Muni, a great preacher of Krishna consciousness, by immediately inquiring from him about devotional service. This incomparable humility of a pure devotee of Krishna is far superior to the false humility of the impersonalist, who actually maintains a desire to be equal to God, though adopting the external behavior of a meek and saintly person. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhevacha Paritanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
O Brahman, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I still wish to inquire about those duties which give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any mortal who faithfully hears about them is freed from all kinds of fear. So we can see here the visit of Narad Muni in the home of Vasudev. And he's being very cordially received by Vasudev, and he's inquiring from him. So here Prabhupada is saying that Vasudev is in fact in a more exalted position than Narad, because he is the father of Krishna, and therefore in that sense he is superior to Narad. Even though Narad is a sannyasi, he is in the renounced order, and Vasudeva is a grihastha. But because of his being so intimately connected with Krishna in the parental mood, he is certainly far, far more exalted. But still we can see that Vasudev, even in that exalted position, has this intense desire to hear Bhagavad Katha. He wants to know how he can improve the standard of his Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important quality for devotees, the desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The spiritual health of a devotee can be assessed by his appetite for hearing Krishna conscious philosophy. Just as a person may go to the doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor, then a very common question asked by him is that, do you have an appetite? Do you feel hungry? See, so therefore, just like that, the spiritual life of a devotee can be assessed by how much he is keen on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. You can see that. Now, why do we lose the taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Why aren't people? What are the necessary qualities for a person to develop the desire for Srimad Bhagavatam? As we can see here, Vasudev has that quality of humility. Humility. Unless a person is not humble enough, he cannot inquire about Krishna consciousness from someone. It's very difficult. Just recently somebody was asking this question. I was in one house program in Seawoods. And after the program, I had already taken prasad, so devotees were taking prasad. So the neighbor invited me to his home, and so I went to sit there because that house was empty. So there that devotee was asking me this question, is that how is it that somebody sent a WhatsApp message in a group, and he was contemplating on that. It had some wisdom in it, so-called wisdom, that Einstein and Newton, such big gyanis, they were not worshipping Saraswati, or they were not worshipping the gods that we Hindus worship. But still these people are so knowledgeable, they are so learned. How come?
उन्होंने किसी सरस्वती की तो पूजा नहीं की होगी, तो उन्होंने कैसे इतना ज्ञान अर्जित किया?
So you see, many people, they make this fundamental mistake to think ignorance to be knowledge. Vedic literatures say, you see, that what is knowledge? Kim vidyaya, kim tapasa, kim tyagena shrutenava, kim vivittena monena, stribhir yasya manoratham. Shastra says, what is the use? Kim vidyaya, what is the use of your knowledge? Kim tapasa, what is the use of all your austerities? Kim tyagena, kim shrutenava, all that erudition of shastras. Kim vivittena, monena, what is the use of all that isolation that you have subjected yourself to? And all that monavrat you have assumed, if your heart is still attached to sex life and other forms of material attachment like puja, labh, pratishtha and all those things. So the conclusion of knowledge is detachment, which means detachment from material life, which means which connects you to your spirit soul, which connects you to God. That is the real knowledge. So what is going on in the form of knowledge? You see, people today with big degrees have the biggest egos. Bigger the degree, bigger the ego. Rarely can you find someone who is highly educated and so humble. That's why to be saral and to be sabal is very difficult. To be strong and to be saral at the same time is very difficult. That combination is very rare. Because real knowledge will award you what? Vidya dadati vinayam. Vinayad yati patratam. Patratvad dhanam apnoti dhanad dharmam tatha sukham. That when you are really learned, then that will award you vinayam, humility. Vinayad yati patratam. And when you are humble, then you will become qualified. You will become capable. Patratvad dhanam apnoti. When you are become capable, then you can earn wealth. You can accumulate resources. Patratvad dhanam apnoti. And then when you get wealth, when you are resourceful, you can earn wealth. And when you have wealth, dhanad dharmam tatha sukham. And then you can engage that wealth in Krishna consciousness and you can be happy. So, conclusion is that if one wants knowledge, one has to be humble. And when one gets real knowledge, then one will actually continue to be humble. But unfortunately, as they say, that we have ego of our knowledge. See, we have ego of our knowledge, but we don't have knowledge of our ego. We are not even aware that we are proud. Many people don't have this. They don't even consider. In fact, today if you are proud, it's considered to be very confident. If you are very arrogant, you are considered very confident. It's a problem today. How unfortunate. So here we can see, even on a very exalted level, this desire to hear Krishna Katha and the utter humility of Vasudeva. To try to inquire the real, he was not condescending to Narad, saying that, oh Narad, please come, what will you have? It was not superficial, it was a genuine inquiry for hearing Krishna Katha. You see, condescending, many times we can be condescending to others. Oh, okay, I am your superior, I am your senior, I came one day before you in Krishna consciousness. One day I came before you in Krishna consciousness. Bhul gaya kya? So we can be condescending, but actually if you see here we can understand. You know, when I was new in Krishna consciousness, I was told that actually in one sense, senior, junior, that we see superficially, based on when we came to Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, is meaningless. Why? Because our Krishna consciousness really does not begin in this life. It could not. And we do not know what Krishna consciousness someone has done in his past life. Somebody must have completed 99% of his Krishna consciousness and he has just now come into Krishna consciousness in this life, apparently. And we have been practicing maybe since last 25 years. But we have just begun in this life probably. And therefore we have only completed maybe 50% of our Krishna consciousness. You see? And now this person apparently is junior to us in this life in Krishna consciousness. So, and we are thinking we are superior or senior to this person. It makes no sense. In fact, he is more exalted. So therefore, who is a senior, who is a junior? It is meaningless. From a spiritual perspective, if you see, everyone should consider themselves junior. Here we can see Vasudev. Even though he is actually superior, still, here Prabhupada says, still there is no reason to consider oneself superior to anyone. Because even in that position, he is thinking that there is room for improvement. Because I am only in the association of the Supreme Lord out of His mercy. And he's actually just being very compassionate to me, even though my devotional service is not perfect. And therefore there is a lot of room for improvement. You can see in Sudama's case. He's saying that words after he was embraced, after he was given this very cordial reception by the Supreme Lord in Dwarka. When Sudama Vipra came with that few grains of chipped rice, Krishna received him, worshipped him, and sent him off so lovingly from Dwarka. When Sudama Vipra was going back, what is he saying? He's saying, Kwaham Daridra Papiyan, Kwa Krishna Sri Niketanam. Brahma Bandhu Itismaham Bahubhyam Parirambhitaha. Kwaham daridra papiyam. In that state, Sudama is thinking, how daridra I am, how poverty stricken, what a poor, unfortunate, and I am not even a Brahmin. I am Brahma Bandhu Iti Smaha. That is what I am. I am not even a Brahmin actually. And wow, Krishna Sri Niketan. And who is Krishna? Sri Niketan. And still, he was so gracious that he embraced me. Bahubhyam parirambita. Personally, he embraced me. That fortune which is not awarded to even the personal associates of Sri Krishna, he has awarded me that grace. So that was the great humility of Sudama. Even though he was very, very exalted because he was a personal associate of Sri Krishna. So at no point of time does any devotee consider himself very advanced. And therefore, we should not mistake advancement to be arrogance. Arrogance does not mean anything. In fact, it is explained that even Srimad Bhagavatam, if one is proud, then even his speaking does not create that much effect. Because again, that's offense actually. Just as you chant Hare Krishna and you are committing offenses, that's Nama Parat. And if you are also becoming arrogant because of your knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, then that is also Bhagavata Parat. So we can see that quality in all the great devotees of the Lord. So many such examples are there of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was at a point in life when he had to return back home, back to Godhead, and the Vaikuntha Viman had just descended in order to receive him, and the messengers of Vaikuntha were waiting for Dhruva to board the Vaikuntha Viman to go back home, at that time, Dhruva Maharaj felt it necessary to go to the assembled sages and devotees to take their blessings and to receive their grace. Even though Dhruva Maharaj could have thought that actually I am more exalted than them because I am on my way back home, back to Godhead. But these people are still here rotting in this material world. So why I should go? But no. The quality of a devotee is always that of humility. He actually felt that he was not qualified. It was the Lord's grace that he is calling me back home in my fallen condition. So also there are other examples. Like Ramanujacharya. Once Ramanujacharya and his disciples planned a yatra to South India, probably to Sri Rangam, some place. So Ramanujacharya started climbing down, as we know that it is a huge mountain. Yeah. It takes a long time, 2-3 hours to climb up. Hours to get down. So they came down, they were a little hungry, they opened their tiffin boxes to have their prasad. All of a sudden Ramanujacharya says, okay, quick, pack up, we are going back to Tirumala. All the disciples started thinking, oh, what's happened to Maharaj? So Ramanujacharya packed up everything and he again started the long walk back up to Tirumala. Long walk. 2-3 hours. When he reached on the top, because all were wondering, what is Ramanujacharya up to? What is the Guru Maharaj up to? And Ramanujacharya then he says, okay, take out your tiffin boxes. So everybody took out a tiffin box. They had packed prasad, and in that there were ants. So Ramanujacharya said, you know why I brought you all up here? Because these ants belong here. These ants are not ordinary souls. These ants are Nitya Suris. They are great devotees. And in order to be born in the holy dham, that arrangement is made by the Supreme Lord Himself. It is Lord's arrangement. And who are we to separate these Nitya Suris from their home? It's a great offense, and therefore I brought them back. And he emptied that prasadam in Tirumala and said, okay, now we are ready to go back. Hare Krishna. When was the last time we took that much trouble to spare the ants living in the dham? Hare Krishna. Really, you know, the unparalleled humility of the acharyas to save, not just to save the life of the ants, but to actually, you know, keep them back from where they came. Something which is really, I mean, we can see the acharyas of all these great sampradayas, they are so humble. Another such instance we can see when Ramanujacharya was about to depart from this material world. At that time, he called all his disciples and he humbly begged at their lotus feet and he told his disciples that, please forgive me for my offenses. Please forgive me. Disciples started weeping tears and they said, what are you speaking, Maharaj? How can you offend us? You are our guru. Ramanujacharya said, no, if I have offended you, please forgive me. So Ramanujacharya, being the guru, did not hesitate to fall at the feet of his disciples. At that time when he was on his way back home, back to Godhead. Such was the humility, Ramanujacharya. One day when he was going, now because it is 1000th anniversary of Ramanujacharya, it's interesting, I was just reading some of his biographies. And one day Ramanujacharya was visiting Tirupati and Sri Shaila Purana, one of his gurus, who happened to also be his maternal uncle, the brother of his mother, Sri Shaila Purana, he wanted to go and meet him. So while he was on the top and he was So Sri Shailapurna came along with his disciples, with the Mahagarland of Balaji, to receive Ramanuja. When Ramanuja saw him, he said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, why have you come here personally? Could have sent some disciple or somebody else junior to you. Why did you come personally?" And Sri Shailapurna said, "Actually, I also thought the same thing. But I could not find anyone junior to me. What to do? So I came personally." So the guru of Ramanuja, who personally gave the name Ramanuja to Ramanuja in his childhood, that person is coming with a garland to receive Ramanuja. Such is the humility of these great souls. Another such example was of Dasharathi. This Dasharathi, once he's one of the chief priests of Srirangam, and something happened and one dog entered into the altar of Srirangam. And all the pujaris got together and had a meeting saying that the altar is contaminated, so therefore we need to wash the altar. We have to clean it with cow dung and cow urine. And Parashar Bhatt started thinking, this dog entered, you all are cleaning the altar, and me, who is more fallen than the dog, is entering into the altar to worship Sri Ranganath, and still you all are not doing any cleansing activity. That's not right. I'm more fallen. So that was Parashara Bhatta's consciousness. Considered himself more fallen than a dog. So it is quite amazing to see that how these great devotees can have such utter humility, which is such a, in fact it may seem so much an exaggeration actually. In today's world where things are so polluted, what is good has become bad, what is bad has become good. I mean, these stories may even seem an exaggeration. How it can be so? You see? But actually these are all the realities. And it only indicates that how far we have gone away from the true principles of morality and spirituality. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastani. It is explained that vidya should give you vinaya. What is real vidya is to be able to see the spirit soul. Brahmane gavi hastani. To become free from all these designations. High caste, low caste. Like Ramanujacharya, every time when he used to come out of taking bath in Kaveri, he used to put his hand over Dasharathi. So once he was questioned that why do you do that? So he said, because I am born in a Brahmin family, and naturally because of that I have this pride, that anartha, that I am a Brahmin. Because the social custom is there, and naturally that anartha comes. Of course today nobody cares. That time, 1,000 years ago, it was a big thing. To be born in Brahmin family means okay, that anartha naturally comes along with the birth. So he said, this Dasharathi, who is a pure devotee, and because he is not from that Brahmin family, he does not have that anartha. So therefore I am touching him so that I can become free from that anartha. Hare Krishna. Shuni chaiva shvapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. So why is it so important that we give respect to devotees and we humble? Because if we are not humble, then we will actually end up committing offenses to devotees. And the Lord cannot tolerate that. The devotees are very dear to the Lord. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord is so grateful, he tells the gopis, na pare ham niravadhisam yujam swasadu krityam vibudhayushapi vaha yama bhajan durjara geha shrinkalaha samrishcha tatva pratiyatu sadhuna. So he is telling that the gopis, that you have given up everything, your family, your house, those things that are so difficult to give up, you have given it up all for me. And therefore I am so indebted to you that I cannot repay this debt even in a lifetime of Brahma. Na pariyeham niravadya samyujam. And therefore you please be satisfied with the glorious position of being engaged in devotional service, because greater than this, greater than the bliss of devotional service, there is nothing I can give you. And therefore please be satisfied. The Supreme Lord is proclaiming that how dear His devotees are. The Lord is very grateful for anything that any living entity performs, service, even in a million lifetimes. Millions of lifetimes ago, if some living entity has done some insignificant service, the Lord remembers that. He never forgets. He's so grateful, and the living entities are so dear to Him. And therefore, we have to be very careful, because if we are not humble, then we can commit offenses to the devotees. And therefore, we can see that here Prabhupada explains that that it is not false humility of the impersonalists. Now the humility that we are talking about has to be understood, because it's not a matter of external things. It's not about how we behave or talk. It's not something, it's much more deeper than just, you see, an etiquette of folding hands and bowing down. You see, it's not about that. I was recently reading about Arjun, sir, little about his pastime, and how once when he was in Hastinapur along with Sri Krishna, and he had gone for a hunting excursion, and he was killing all the animals, and he told his associates to collect all the dead animals to be offered in a fire sacrifice. And I was thinking that, see, Arjun is a pure devotee, he's a Kshatriya. And he is even actually out hunting and killing animals, Haribol. And we as devotees are following the principle of no meat eating and all those things. Non-violence has to be practiced. But he is in the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And still Arjun is humble. Krishna told Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shantar, Arjava and all those things. He told Arjun, and then you fight. First you become humble and then you fight. Now if Arjun fought, that means naturally he was humble. He followed this principle. And at the same time he is doing all these killing of thousands of soldiers. At times being a Kshatriya, he is also going out hunting. And still he is humble. How to understand this? So therefore, this humility is a Vaishnava humility which needs a lot of... Just like once Radha Govind Maharaj was saying that how to understand these principles. That's why it is said, 12 saal rahe sadhu ki toli, tab samaj mein aaye unki ek boli. That 12 years you spend in the association of a devotee, then you will actually understand his one statement, what he is trying to convey. It's not so easy. So it's not about just simply Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. It's much more deeper than that. Much more deeper than that. Really, and considering Vasudeva's position, you know, Vasudeva, what was, not just he was spiritually exalted, he was in Dwarka. Dwarka was the most opulent place in the entire creation. What to speak of creation, even the spiritual world. 300,000 palaces, each palace more opulent than all the opulences of Indra and Brahma put together. He had employed 3 crore 88 lakh teachers to teach their, how much, 1 lakh 60,000 children of Krishna, because 16,108 queens, 10 children from each, so how much into 10, that many children, so how many teachers required? They employed 3 crore 88 lakh teachers to teach them. You know how education is so expensive these days? To get your child admitted in any a school today, you have to pay how much? 25 lakh donation to get your child admitted in any any good school. And then what to speak of getting admission in engineering and MBBS.
straight you have to give check of under the table 25 lakhs and over the table 25 lakhs, something like that. You know, the education has become a very expensive affair. That was the number of teachers he had employed to teach Hare Krishna. That was the opulence of Dwarka. Vasudev, opulences. When Krishna got married to one of his queens, Nagnajiti, her father Nagnajit, how much dowry he gave to Krishna? Quite interesting. He gave 3,000 maid servants. He gave 9,000 elephants. He gave 9 lakh chariots. He gave 90 million horses. And he gave 9 billion soldiers. The current population of the world is 7 billion. He gave 9 billion soldiers in charity to Krishna, and that was one of his Ashtabharyas. He 8 principal queens. He had 16,108 queens in Dwarka. Narad is in Dwarka meeting with the father of Krishna, and still his humility. Out of all the opulences, Haribol, you know, the wealth is like the thing which really gets to your head. You see, you know, wealth is something. Somebody, you can see all the rich people, I doubt whether they will come here and sit on the floor of Sri Radha Gopinath temple and hear Bhagavad Katha. Very difficult, you see. Where are the rich people of Bombay? No, even if they be maybe hearing Bhagavad Kathas, they may be arranging for the preacher to go to their homes to do Katha. It's very rare to find such people, you know, having all the opulences, having the Sabalta and the Saralta at the same time. Very difficult. So therefore, we can see that this utter humility, not just the superficial humility of holding hands, bowing a head, but you know, the Vaishnav humility that we are talking about, is that is something. Like we can see, I was recently hearing about the Vallabhacharya, because he installed the temple in Dwarka. Today if you go in Bet Dwarka, there is a temple to Lord Shri Krishna. Similar to the temple which is Dwarkadish temple in the mainland Dwarka. So that was constructed by Vallabhacharya. I was just doing a little research on Vallabhacharya. Who was he? He was Vallabh Bhatt, who had actually met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu was at Prayag. So Rupa Goswami and his younger brother had come and surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. At that time, Vallabh Bhatt was also, he was Telangan Brahman from South India, and he was living there, and he met Mahaprabhu and glorified Mahaprabhu. He said, "Oh, you are Sri Krishna himself," and he started quoting verses, glorified him, served Mahaprabhu so nicely, invited him to his home, took special care of Sriman Mahaprabhu. One day he was taking Mahaprabhu in a boat. Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy on seeing the Yamuna, and he jumped into the Yamuna. Vallabha Bhatt, he immediately, they became very stressed. They carried Mahaprabhu, took him to his home, and making sure that they took another boat from the Ganges, path of the Ganges, not the Yamuna, so that he does not go into ecstasy. So much care he took of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu gave him a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana, Rupa Goswami had come with his brothers at that time. So Vallabha Bhatt, he wanted to embrace Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami ran away from him and he says, "Please don't embrace me." So he said, "Why not?" Because shocked. So he said, "Because I am so fallen. I am a mlecha, I am a yavan, because I have associated with these Muslim rulers." So then Sri Yaman Mahaprabhu says, "Yes, yes, yes. They are actually mlechas and yavanas. You should not embrace him, because you also belong to aristocracy." So he was actually wanting to test Vallabhacharya's humility. So Vallabhacharya knew the principles of Vaishnav humility. He immediately said, no, aho batashu pachato gariya nirjivagre vartate namadubhyam tepus tapaste jihuvurshashnurarya brahmanucho namagrihananti yete, that anyone who is constantly chanting the names of Lord Hari, he cannot be fallen, he cannot be mlech, he cannot be yavan. He has in fact performed all the austerities, he has performed all the yajnas, he has done all the tapasyas, he has done, read all the Vedic literatures. He is very exalted. Mahaprabhu is very pleased on hearing that. He says, ah, Vallabhacharya understands. Anyway, later on Vallabhacharya, he comes to Jagannath Puri when Mahaprabhu is there and came to meet him. And now Mahaprabhu's attitude towards Vallabhacharya changed. Now Mahaprabhu wanted to go deeper into trying to teach Vallabhacharya Vaishnava humility principles. So Vallabhacharya, Vallabha Bhatt, let me say Vallabha Bhatt better because some people may take offense. But so Vallabha Bhatt, he had written commentaries, Subodhini, which is very at that time commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and had already also written some commentary on the holy name of Sri Krishna. So he came to Sriman Mahaprabhu and he says that, Mahaprabhu, you know, I have written this commentary. Would you like to please listen? Commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu said, you know, I do not understand all these philosophies, and I just simply chant Hare Krishna. That's all I want to do. So Vallabha Bhatt then said, I have also written commentary on the holy name of Sri Krishna. Would you like to listen? Mahaprabhu says, I do not understand all the different meanings of the holy names of Krishna. I only know one thing, that the holy name of Krishna means what? He is Shyam Sundar and he is Yashoda Nandan. That's all. So he was not willing. So Vallabha Bhatt was becoming very anxious that Mahaprabhu is not listening to my commentary. So Mahaprabhu could understand that Vallabha Bhatt's commentaries were all rubbish. That's written there, that it was all rubbish, and Mahaprabhu didn't want to listen. So because Mahaprabhu did not give any importance to Vallabha Bhatt, all the disciples of Mahaprabhu also did not give any importance to Vallabha Bhatt. Nobody wanted to listen to his commentary. And he was going from devotee to devotee, you know, saying, please listen, I have got this, made this, written this commentary, thoda suno to sahi. And he went to Swarup Damodar, he went to Gadadhar, he caught Gadadhar, and he became very friendly with Gadadhar. And he said, please listen, nobody is listening to my commentary. So Gadadhar became a little nervous, what to do? If I listen to the commentary, then everybody will say, Mahaprabhu is not listening to his commentary, you are listening to the commentary. So Gadadhar was thinking, Mahaprabhu will not chastise me because he is Paramatma, he knows my intentions. But all these disciples of his are very critical people. You know, they will chastise me. So he was not knowing, but so half-heartedly, and he started listening to the commentaries. And eventually, one day he was discussing with Advaita Acharya. He went with Advaita Acharya and he said, the living entities are the servants of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is the master. The living entities are actually the servants. Just like a wife is subordinate to the husband, wife should never take the name of the husband. So why are you devotees taking the name Krishna, Krishna? It's not permitted. It's not correct. So Advaita Acharya said, here is Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself. Why don't you go and ask him? So Vallabha Bhatt went and said, Mahaprabhu, it's not right. According to me, I have written this commentary. And therefore, what do you think? So Mahaprabhu said, look, that is true that the wife should never take the name of the husband. But if the husband has given specific instruction to the wife to take the name, then she should. Because the foremost duty of the wife is to be obedient to the husband. And therefore, you do not understand these principles. So Vallabha Bhatt was again defeated. And being defeated again and again and again and again, he felt so humiliated. And he became very despondent. And he started thinking, Mahaprabhu was so sweet and so kind to me in Prayag, but now his attitude has changed. And therefore he became a little despondent. And it is explained, Prabhupada writes in the purport that he left and he joined the Rudra Sampradaya. He took Shiksha from Gadadhar. And he took initiation from him, it seems. And he joined the Rudra Sampradaya and became the Acharya there, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And we know that he is very famous there. So, such a great exalted personality, great commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, and still Srimad Mahaprabhu is giving him lessons on humility, is a clear indication of what is the standard of Vaishnava humility, Haribo. You see? And therefore, this very important principle of maintaining this desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is by observing humility is a very important principle. And therefore, in order to maintain this quality of humility, there are various processes. First of all is to get the prescribed knowledge. As it is explained, to know is one thing. Janna ek baat hai. Manna dusri baat hai. Karna tisri baat hai. To know, to accept, to believe, to have faith, and to actually do it. Like you see in the Bible, Jesus Christ says, the meek and humble shall inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ personally, he washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, do unto others as I have done unto you. Setting the example, even though he was a guru of all his apostles, he took a very humble view. Leading from the bottom. Leadership in Krishna consciousness is to lead from the bottom. And therefore, because we may get trapped in all these things. Therefore, when Rupa Goswami was given this knowledge about devotional service, he was saying that when we are watering the seed of bhakti, say you have a seed and you want to water it, a sapling comes out. You want to nurture it, but at the same time, along with that sapling, some unwanted grass and other weeds may also grow. A gardener must be very careful. Otherwise, those weeds will choke up the main plant. And therefore, he says that along with bhakti lata bij, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, when we are doing or engaging in the processes of Krishna consciousness, many other unwanted weeds can crop up. What are those weeds? Nishiddhachar, kuti nati, jeev himsana, puja lab pratishtha, bahushakha gana. He says, desire for puja, lab and pratishtha, for being honored, material profiteering, trying to make business out of one's services in Krishna consciousness, one's status, and jeeva hinsana, causing trouble to others, giving others pain, not pleasing them, but in fact harming them. It is said that you should please devotees, you know, and receive blessings, not curses. So nishiddhachar means bad behavior, kutinati, duplicity. Prabhupada says a corrupt mind is always suspicious of others. A person who is suspicious of others or who is a skeptic, hey, isko kya chahiye? Oh, isko kya chahiye? And is always in that means he himself has got some corruption in his mind. Prabhupada writes it in the purport of this verse. A corrupt mind is always suspicious. Because atmamat manyate jagat. So these are the things. And then at the same time, desire for material enjoyment and desire for liberation. These are the things. I want to become free from all the troubles. That desire also is anartha. And then atyahara, prayasascha, prajalpo, niyamagra, and all those other things follow. There are unlimited, bahushakha. That there are many such unwanted creepers, different kinds of unwanted weeds which may come and grow while you are trying to water the seed of devotional service. And therefore a devotee must be very careful. Otherwise it will choke up the main creeper of bhakti. And therefore when he is chanting, when a person is chanting, he should also follow some of the rules of Krishna consciousness of offering respects, offering obeisances, and having respectful dealings. Otherwise it is nishiddhachar. Otherwise familiarity breeds contempt, you see. It creeps up in every kind of relationship, not just in Vaishnava relationship, but every form. One congregation devotee was telling me, congregation devotee, married man, was telling me that after marriage, shadi ke pehle saal mein, pati bolta hai, patni sunti hai. Dusre saal mein patni bolti hai, pati sunta hai. Aur teesre saal mein dono bolte hain, padosi sunte hain. Which means familiarity breeds contempt. After some time, you see, you become, there's so much of love and affection in the initial days, and then after some time you become familiar. So therefore there are certain processes, there are certain sadhanas which have been mentioned. If one follows those things, which means like the etiquettes of Krishna consciousness, then one will always be safeguarded and protected from unwanted offenses to the devotee communities. And one can maintain one's taste for hearing Krishna consciousness and will always be in the right frame of mind when he is chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I was just repeating for my own purification. Hope I am able to follow what I have spoken. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.